From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Snohomish Community Transit has rejected a bus advertisement from a gun control group, Washington Sees Fire. King County Metro rejected an ad from a group that was critical of Israel. In another instance, Sound Transit rejected an ad from a pro-labor group. At issue are these policies from the transit agencies banning all advertising that creates substantial controversy, including political speech. Today we'll talk to a spokesperson from Sound Transit and an ACLU lawyer who's opposing the ban, and we'd like to hear from you. Should government agencies limit the speech on advertisements on buses? Where should they draw the line? Are you offended by controversial bus ads? Do you think that they should be banned? We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Do you think people should be able to express their beliefs in ads on public buses? 800-289-5869. Maybe you're not even sure about what you think about this issue. Well, listen up. We're going to have arguments from both sides. Then you can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Snohomish Community Transit is at least the third agency in our region in recent years that's banned controversial or political advertising on mass transit, among other things. Martin McGee is the public information officer at Community Transit and a former KUOW employee. Martin, nice to speak to you again.
You too, Ross. Good to say. It's good to hear you again.
So why did Snohomish County feel the need to create this rule that bans certain kinds of advertising?
Basically, you know, Community Transit just adopted a new policy, and we wanted to create a policy because from time to time there are advertising requests that come to the agency where either we feel that there might be some controversy or people who are going to be angered by the message that's posted on our buses, or in the past we've had that happen for ads that actually on our buses. And sometimes they've resulted in those ads being taken down. So we needed to create a policy that really just kind of spelled out in advance what are the types of ads or categories of ads that we would not be accepting.
What were some of the ads that caused incidents that caused you to start this policy, that got people mad, that caused some problems?
There have been ads in the past regarding animal rights issues, regarding actually, there was one, an interesting one that was an anti-smoking campaign that had really graphic images of kind of diseased body parts and other things that a lot of people really took offense to. You know, our primary mission is to operate our buses and to provide services for people who need to or want to ride the bus. And we had people who weren't going to ride our buses because they just didn't like the messages that were displayed on our buses.
Now, there's a lot of things in this policy, but the first condition under which advertising could be rejected is if it creates, quote, substantial controversy, if it interferes with or diverts resources from transit operations, and third, if the controversial ads pose significant risks of harm, inconvenience, or annoyance to transit passengers, operators, and vehicles. Now, do the ads have to meet all three of those conditions to be banned, or just one of them?
Just one of those.
Okay. Now, you also ban political advertisements. Why is that?
Really because it gets us into an area of public debate where there usually are at least two different sides, sometimes multifaceted sides of this issue. And as I said, when you get into, let's say, a political race, if we were accepting advertisements for a candidate or a ballot measure, you may have people who are opposed to that viewpoint who take out their anger either on the transit agency, at the drivers, or sometimes at the customers, or you get people who don't want to ride a bus that has a message that they don't agree with. And again, our feeling is that our primary purpose, our reason for being, is simply to provide that bus service. So we don't want those messages on the ads to really interfere with that.
Now, you can be exposed to messages you don't agree with in lots of public places. You could be walking through downtown Everett and there could be a protest and you could disagree with that message. But we sort of think it's an important principle that people be allowed to express that message in those public locations. Why is are public buses different?
Well, you know, there's an open debate about that. You know, we certainly do accept funding from the federal government, from the state government, so we are definitely a public agency. What we've said with the policy is that it's our intention not to create a public discourse on our buses. That the primary purpose of this agency is to provide public transportation services, not to be an open forum for people to simply express their viewpoints on the sides of our buses.
Now, it's an interesting standard. One rejection would come from if it creates substantial controversy. How do you differentiate between controversy and substantial controversy, or almost substantial controversy but not quite substantial controversy? I mean, it sounds like it's a kind of an open-ended, arbitrary thing to say. How do you make those calls?
They are judgment calls, and actually we do have a group of people who sit down and review. I guess if you want to walk through the process, one thing that I'd say is we've only rejected probably maybe a couple of ads over the past, you know, per year out of the many ads that we accept. So we're really talking about a very small number of ads that ever rise into the category of being considered as something that we wouldn't accept. But once we get to that place, we have people, including our legal counsel, take a look at them. They might judge it against, you know, what kind of reaction have we gotten to this in the past, a similar type of ad. Is this an issue out there that we know the issue itself might be standing, might be subject to emotional debate in the community? You know, the ad in question that we had rejected regarding Washington Ceasefire, which is a gun control advocacy group. What's interesting is that if you go on some of the media sites that have been reporting on this issue and you look at the comments sections, there's heated debate about, you know, our policy and about whether our policy is right or wrong, but then it automatically turns to simply the gun control debate.
Right.
And that the fact that there are so many people who are commenting and there's interest from so much media about this kind of, I think, states the case that this might be a controversial issue.
Martin Munguia is with us. He's the public information officer with Community Transit, one of the agencies in our area, and we've talked about this in the past, that bans certain types of ads that are deemed to be substantially controversial and might cause some problems with the operation. Maybe you've got an opinion about this. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's 800-289-5869. Or if you'd like to write to us, you can write to conversation@kuow.org. Maybe you are a strap hanger. You've seen these ads. You've got a feeling one way or the other about whether they're appropriate for buses. Martin, stay with us. We're going to hear another perspective now, and I want to get you back on to respond to it. We're joined next by Venkat Balasubramani, who's a cooperating attorney with the ACLU on lawsuits to overturn these policies that ban political or controversial ads. Venkat, respond to what Martin just had to say. He laid out the policies. He said that they're in the interest of having these agencies fulfill their primary duty, which is to transport people from one place to the other. He says these ads could be an impediment to that.
Well, first, thanks for having me, Ross. It's good to be on the show. And I think to respond to specifically what Martin said, the key issue from a First Amendment standpoint is that there's got to be objective standards for when speech is either included or not included within the forum. No one is forcing any transit agency to accept any advertising at all, but to the extent it decides to accept advertising, it has to have some kind of even-handed way of determining what is included or not included. And the reason for that is simply because there's a powerful sort of First Amendment principle at stake, which is that viewpoint discrimination, government shouldn't be tipping the scales in the debate at all. And I think that the overarching First Amendment principle is that ideas should fall and rise on their own merits. And to the extent the government says that, well, we think this is too controversial, that is implicitly tipping the scales in the debate and sort of interfering with the marketplace of ideas. And I think coming to the specific ad in question, to me, and I think to other First Amendment advocates, it really highlights how the metric that is used is subjective. I mean, who's to say what's controversial? And for some people, gun control might be controversial. For other people, religion might be controversial. For yet other people, you know, Seattle Mariners baseball team could be controversial. So I think controversy, courts have recognized, is not a particularly objective way to draw a boundary and say, you know, this speech is not acceptable. And that's really kind of the basic qualm of several of these lawsuits that are pending.
That's one of the criteria. Another one is if the controversy interferes with the resources of the transit operations. If bus riders are getting into fights and they have to stop the bus and deal with it, that sounds like it could be a problem.
Well, I guess certainly were not unsympathetic to that. I mean, I would counter that it's a lot of ads probably raise the hassles of bus drivers and riders. And you also don't want to put in the hands of the public the ability to determine what is acceptable or not acceptable, because from that standpoint, literally majority viewpoints would always be acceptable, and any sort of minority viewpoints would be totally squelched out of the public debate.
Okay.
And that's also an equally important First Amendment standpoint. So we're not insensitive to the fact that transit resources are at stake, but courts have also recognized that to the extent you tie it to things like ridership, it can just be a proxy to say, well, you know, we think this is going to be more popular, or, you know, the public says they don't like this. And those aren't great First Amendment metrics to determine whether or not speech is acceptable or not.
Now, Venkat, there are other aspects of this policy. It also bans tobacco, alcohol, gun, and marijuana ads. It bans adult films, new dance clubs, and other adult entertainment ads. Do you think those are things that should be allowed on buses?
Well, I think an agency can make a determination in advance to say broad areas of subject matter are excluded from a particular forum.
Is that a yes? Is that a yes to those particular things they're banning in their policy?
Excuse me?
Are you saying yes? These are areas with it's legitimate interest in them banning ads on tobacco, alcohol, new dance clubs.
Yes, and I think the reason is there's no risk of viewpoint discrimination. The agency is saying in advance, you know, we think tobacco, you know, we have reasons for why tobacco-related advertising is not acceptable. That's a lot different from saying, you know, something that's too controversial is unacceptable. So I think the sort of laundry list that is used, whether it's alcohol, tobacco, obscenity, those are all typically acceptable categories because they're broad content-based restrictions, and there's no risk that the agency is going to favor a particular viewpoint.
Yeah, Venkat, stay with us. I got one more question for Martin. You heard Venkat say that your criteria are not objective standards. They're open to interpretation, and hence you're not really drawing a bright line on this. And by necessity, the folks that you have there at Community Transit are going to be making subjective decisions based on whether they agree or disagree with something or think it's controversial or not. What's your response to that, Martin?
Well, actually, that's the very reason we created this policy that was adopted by the board, because previous to having this policy, frankly, there were some guidelines, but it allowed too much subjectivity. This policy and the section that you read, Ross, at the beginning that contained the controversial areas, that was sort of the preamble to this policy that set forth the rationale for the policy. But then we go into some specific areas, as you just mentioned, tobacco, alcohol, adult entertainment. And then there's one section under political advertising that talks specifically about issues that are before the public and are in the public debate. And that's where this ad fell. And so we do have what we think are some specific objective categories that we judge an ad against, not by the content of what's actually in the advertising, but does it fall into one of these areas that we've defined in the policy as being an area that we want to try to avoid advertising on our buses. So I think that we have met our standard. And, you know, the policy is pretty clear and gives us better guidelines so that there's not that subjectivity.
Martin, we know about this case about the Washington Ceasefire ad. They're the gun control group, and their ad you rejected. This policy hasn't been in place very long, but are there some that you took a look at, considered whether they were controversial, and said, no, you know, they fall on this side of the line. We're going to allow them?
No, this is the first one under this policy that has been considered either way. I mean, you know, the majority of our ads, and they're for plumbing businesses or something that didn't even raise, suspicion under this policy.
Hey, Martin Munguia, thank you so much for talking to us today. Martin Munguia, Public Information Officer at Community Transit. And a final question for you, Venkat Balasubramani, with the ACLU, a cooperating attorney with them. Other cities do this differently. There's a similar case in New York. Tell us what happened there.
Well, in New York, a group challenged several different transit agencies on a basis that they improperly excluded advertising that can be characterized as, you know, taking a negative viewpoint on Islam. And the court said that the agency improperly excluded the ad, and the agency had a choice to either change its policy and only include commercial advertising or continue to take in political advertising. And the agency did the right thing and continued to accept political advertising from, I think, keeping in mind the fact that debate on public issues is a good thing. And, you know, the world's not necessarily, there's not going to be rampant chaos in the street because public issues are being aired in this sort of way.
So no restrictions. The Nazi Party could put up an ad in a New York City bus, or you could put up a ceasefire, a anti-gun or pro-gun message on a bus in New York City?
There are some restrictions, and I don't know offhand whether either one of those would be acceptable. But I'm guessing there are other grounds under the policy that could justify exclusion of those. So it's not necessarily a free-for-all in terms of what's included and excluded. But I guess the point is, faced with a choice between limiting it to commercial, purely commercial advertising, and including public issue advertising, some agencies have taken the step of continuing to include public issue advertising because they recognize that the free flow and the debate is overall a good thing for society and furthers First Amendment principles.
Venkat Balasubramani, thank you so much for talking to us. He's a cooperating attorney with the ACLU. He's working on these cases to overturn the policies banning political or controversial ads. What do you think? 206-543-5869. Michael's on the line. He's calling us today from Redmond. What do you think, Michael?
I feel vaguely unclean disagreeing with the ACLU, but in a few different cities, I've had the experience of being in a bus with an argument breaking out on the seat near me or next to me. And things, even on one occasion, coming to blows.
What was the precipitating ad that got people arguing?
Well, it wasn't an ad, but I'm just saying that adding it wasn't over a political ad,
okay.
But I can very easily see someone defacing a message that they found very offensive and then getting into an argument with it. And I think it just interferes with the orderly operation of a public transport system. If I'm on the street and I see something, and also, you know, we're a captive audience in there. If you're on the street and, as you said, you see something offensive, you can walk on by. But if you're in the bus, you're trapped both with the ad and with everyone else looking at it.
Yep. Good point, Michael. Thanks for your call. Let's go to another Michael. This is Mike calling us today from Tacoma, the city of destiny. Mike, what do you have to say about this? What do you think about controversial ads on buses?
I think it's really unfortunate that we have to have advertising on our bus system. But what it comes down to is that they could make this a really easy issue and simply ban advertising, but they won't. And so we get into this gray, nebulous area about civil rights. It's not a civil rights or civil liberties issue. It's an economic issue. If the bus didn't make money on advertising, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So the reality is the way you solve the problem, and this is probably a conservative ideal, but here we go, is you just don't advertise on the bus.
So ban it all together. Yeah, ban it all together, and you solve that problem. Mike, thanks a lot for bringing that forward. Of course, transit officials say that they're really hard-pressed to keep up the services they're already providing. They would find that be financially extremely difficult. One final call. We're going to go over to Redmond, where we have Kim on the line. Kim, what do you think? Is it okay to ban these what some call controversial ads on buses?
If we can get rid of the religious advertisement, yes, I would rather go the opposite route and just have commercial advertising, because I don't mind political discourse. I like political discourse, even discussing with people who have differing opinions than I do. What I do mind is the ever-growing religious information and propaganda being forced in front of me, being in the captive audience on the bus or seeing one driving by or driving behind one.
Okay, so fair. So you would ban the religious ads. What about someone putting an ad on a bus that had Barack Obama with a Hitler mustache declaiming his policies? You'd be okay with that, because all you say only religious ones should be banned. You'd be okay with that?
No, I'm saying that I agree with just going the opposite direction of only allowing commercial advertisements.
Oh, no
goods and services, and so no political.
No political, no ideological things whatsoever.
No religion discourse, no religious advertisement, yes.
Hey, Kim, thanks a lot for your call. Thanks for all of your thoughts. You can share your thoughts at our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation, if you didn't get a chance to express them. And, of course, we'll be following these cases as they go through the courts to try to overturn these bans on political speech on buses. From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds.